Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is. Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories about the Korean Peninsula. A top United States intelligence official says that North Korea has made progress in developing long-range missiles. This comes as the possibility of deploying a U.S. missile defense system in South Korea has gained attention. James Clapper is the National Intelligence Director for the United States. He recently wrote to the U.S. Congress saying that North Korea has made progress in developing a missile that could reach the U.S. He said that North Korea has taken steps to test a long-range intercontinental ballistic missile, or ICBM. David Stilwell is an official with the U.S. Department of Defense. He recently said that the North Korean missile threat has created what he calls a demand for the THAAD missile defense system in South Korea. THAAD is an acronym for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense. Shin In-kyun is a security expert with the Korea Defense Network. He said South Korea is more concerned with short-range missile threats, not ICBMs. The THAAD missile defense system is able to track objects up to 1,000 kilometers away. It is designed to stop ballistic missiles at high altitudes. He said ICBMs cannot attack South Korea due to the limits of the missile's firing range. He believes that Mr. Clapper's comments on ICBMs actually expressed concern about a possible cut in the U.S. defense budget. China and Russia opposed the use of a THAAD system in South Korea. They say the system could possibly be used to intercept their missiles. They say this would increase U.S. military capabilities in the area. Officials in South Korea have avoided any formal declaration on THAAD. They say no official request has come from the U.S. and that no official consultations have been made. They also say South Korea has not decided whether to place a THAAD system on the Korean Peninsula. North Korea has not started testing any ICBMs. But experts with the U.S.-Korea Institute say there is photographic evidence that shows rocket engine testing and construction in North Korea. They say that North Korea may have a functioning ICBM within the next 3 to 5 years. But ongoing sanctions and technical problems could delay development by years or even decades. North Korea also must complete a number of tests before the ICBM is ready for use. Shin In-kyun said a missile must go through at least 10 firing tests and must pass at least 7. He estimates it will take several more years for North Korea to build a working ICBM. It is not known how close North Korea is to developing a small nuclear device that could be used on a ballistic missile. General Curtis Scaparotti is the commander of U.S. Forces Korea. Last year, he said he believed North Korea has the expertise and ability to build a small nuclear device. South Korean Minister of Defense Han Min-kyu also said North Korea has made progress in its nuclear device technology. You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Learning English. We'll be right back. The United States ambassador to South Korea continues to recover from a knife attack. Mark Lippert was released from a hospital in Seoul on March 10th, 5 days after he was repeatedly stabbed in the capital. Jim Tedder has more.
A South Korean supporter of North Korea cut Ambassador Lippert on the face and hand. Police arrested 55-year-old Kim Ki-jong immediately following the attack. He faces charges including attempted murder. But officials say the attacker might have also violated a law designed to stop the spread of communism. Some rights groups oppose the law. They say it mostly limits freedom of speech without increasing public safety. Police searched Mr. Kim's home and office. They say they found documents supporting North Korea. South Korea's national security law bans such documents. Park Kun-young is a member of the group People's Solidarity for Participatory Democracy. He opposes the law and is worried about how the government might use it. He says it is bad that the attack carried out by one violent man is bringing attention to other activists who do not share the South Korean government's thoughts on North Korea. He says the South Korean government might now use the national security law to try to punish its political opponents. Lawmakers approved the measure in the late 1940s to try to stop the spread of communist North Korea's influence. But rights activists say it restricts freedom of speech and gives the government power to send innocent people to jail. In 2012, 26-year-old photographer Park Jung-gun was found guilty of violating the law. Last year, a higher court canceled the ruling and said the man was innocent. Mr. Park says he was charged because of a humorous comment he made about North Korea on the social networking website Twitter. Mr. Park says he is now more careful about what he communicates on social media. Many South Koreans support the national security law. They say the fight against North Korea is continuing. Seo Jung-kup is a member of the organization National Action Campaign in South Korea. He says the attack on the American ambassador proves that the government needs to take stronger action against South Koreans who support North Korea. He says North Korea is the world's worst dictatorship. He says it launched attacks in 2010 and killed 46 South Korean soldiers. He says he does not think issues like the economy and human rights are as important as that of uniting the nation. Critics of the law say they agree that North Korea is still a threat to South Korea. But they say the attack on the ambassador shows that the law does not keep people safe from attack. That is one reason why activist Park Kun-young says the law should be canceled. He says security is important and the country needs laws to stop spies. But he says the national security law does not do that. He says it only stops people from expressing their opinions. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The deal between Iran and six world powers to place limits on Iran's nuclear program has brought reactions from cheers to alarm around the world. Negotiators reached a framework of an agreement after 8 days of intensive negotiation in Lausanne, Switzerland. President Barack Obama praised the agreement as historic and a good deal that meets our core objectives. He said the agreement would make the world safer and keep Iran from building a nuclear weapon if fully carried out. The president said the limits placed on Iran would be the strongest in history.
This framework would cut off every pathway that Iran could take to develop a nuclear weapon. Iran will face strict limitations on its program, and Iran has also agreed to the most robust and intrusive inspections and transparency regime ever negotiated for any nuclear program in history.
Many Iranians welcomed news of the agreement, which would ease existing sanctions in exchange for a list of requirements meant to keep Iran from building a nuclear bomb. Supporters welcomed Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif on his return to Tehran. Hundreds of Iranians celebrated in the streets in hopes that their country's economic isolation would come to an end. And Iranian President Hassan Rouhani called it a day that will remain in the historical memory of the Iranian nation. Iranian hardliners, on the other hand, denounced the agreement as a bad deal. In Israel, the reaction was of alarm. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called an emergency meeting of his security cabinet Friday. He expressed strong opposition to the agreement. He said it would pose a grave danger to the region and to the world, and would threaten the very survival of the State of Israel. He also said it helps Iran's economy while raising the risk of a nuclear arms race in the area. The reaction was more restrained in the Gulf region. Saudi official media reported that King Salman voiced hope that a final settlement on the nuclear dispute would strengthen the stability and security of the region and the world in a phone call with President Obama. Besides the U.S., Britain, China, France, Russia, and Germany negotiated the deal. Under the agreement, Iran is required to pull back its abilities to create a nuclear weapon. United Nations inspections of all of Iran's nuclear facilities would be increased in order to verify that the agreement was being followed. In exchange, Iran will receive relief from international sanctions. President Obama indicated that many details of the agreement have yet to be reached. He said on Thursday that the deal would be finalized over the next 3 months. In his words, nothing is agreed to until everything is agreed. He also warned that if Iran violates the deal, sanctions can be snapped back into place, although critics question how that could be done quickly or easily. In Congress, Republican lawmakers have threatened to pass new sanctions on Iran. President Obama said critics of his effort to make a nuclear deal with Iran were wrong. He said failure to reach a deal would be called a failure of U.S. diplomacy. If fully carried out, the deal could be considered the most important international agreement of Mr. Obama's presidency. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.